It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Wes Moss here on a Sunday morning here with Ryan Ely, and we're taking your phone calls and your questions. The number here in the studio, by the way, beautiful day so far, 47 degrees. It's actually comfortable, even though it's a little muggy. This is the time to be outside. If you're out playing, this is the time to be playing golf right now. And it's going to get hot. It's going to be 88 today, but this is the time. But good morning. Thanks for tuning in to Money Matters, the number in the studio. Give us a call, and we're going to go to the phones here, 404-872-0750. Again, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. Here we go. We're going to the phones. And we're gonna start with Mary, who joins us in Alpharetta. Mary, good morning. Are you still on the line?
Hi, good morning.
What's going on? How can I help?
Hi. So we have one kid and one more on the way very soon. My husband and I are trying to do the math on what me staying at home would look like in terms of replacing not just my cash income, but all the benefits that I have. I have a great job. I make about $60,000 a year. And I have great health insurance. We only pay about $400 a month for full family coverage, vision, dental, everything.
Wow. Okay. So let me ask you this, because this is one of the big variables here. Ryan and I were just talking about this during the break about the cost of different, and this is what can be a big, so if you're listening here, this is a really important question. I wanted to take this on the air, and I don't think we've ever had a call about this, but it's something that comes up all the time. And I've gone through this equation, Mary, because I've have a bunch of kids now myself. My wife was a nurse for 10, 11 years here. It used to be Eggleston, but now at the Aflac Cancer Center. And, you know, she had a good job making similar to what you're making. We started having kids. And after kid one, easy to do the math. Yeah, keep working. After kid two, you start to say, wait a minute here. You've got daycare and you've got health care, and all of a sudden you're starting to think, well, is it worth it? So let me keep going. Is it worth it to keep working? Is the question that you're faced and so many moms face. And that's what, well, let's do a little bit of the math here. So one of the biggest variables would be, of course, the health care piece of this. You, on your company health care, you only pay $400 a month for the whole family. That includes your husband. So your husband's on your health care.
He is, and he's freelance in his job. So he has a good cash income, but of course there's no benefits. And so we're trying to figure out what the pain factor of going into a freelance healthcare mode would be for our family. And we don't have any, you know, extreme medical conditions or anything to consider, but it's still
expensive.
It's still expensive.
Well, let's go through a vanilla case scenario just for a second. That's where we'll start. And again, this is a wonderfully important question that Mary is asking. And this is so many. If and you may be in your 50s and you remember this same conversation or this conversation of, wow, we've got kids. When does it? It's so much time and energy to raise them and get them to school and sports and life that it becomes very difficult to work. And if you stop working, though, and you have all this child care, or if you keep working, you have child care, and it gets so expensive, you start to ask the question, well, what's the point of working if I'm really just working to just pay for the child care? I might as well stop, take care of the child care myself, and we're still in a break-even financial situation. And that's kind of this break-even math that you have to do. So, of course, there's the math, and then there's just the softer variable, or the gray variable, is the time, right? Your time to be able to spend with the kids.
So that's a huge factor for our family as well. It's just like you said, sort of the opportunity cost of the time away.
Right. It would be, if it were up to you, you would rather be with the kids.
I would. And with my husband, I actually, when I am able to assist him in his business, we can sort of save money that way, and it's a good win, but boy, that health insurance sure is nice.
I know. All right, well, let's get to that. So let's just do some math here. I'm thinking, and I know that it's, if you Google this, it'll say that the average cost in the state of Georgia is, you know, $7,600 for daycare per year. I think that's low. Come to Atlanta, and it's going to be, if you go, let's call it big city, it's probably at least $1,200 a month, right? It's probably 12, and it could even be more. I mean, you go to the some of these fancy daycares, and it could be $2,000 a month. But let's just say it's $1,200 a month. That's times 12 is $14,400 a year. You adjust that for taxes, Mary, and you have got to make at least $20,000 just to break even day one. Number mm-hmm. Now we have two kids. That means your daycare is not going to be 14 anymore. It's going to be closer to $30,000 a year, which means you have to make at least $40,000 just to break even, right? So why work?
My math is a little different.
Okay, let's hear your math. Actually,
I have subsidized daycare through my job. They take great care of us. So once the second baby comes, I'll be paying about $1,400 a month for both.
All right, $1,400 total for you.
And it's fabulous quality, great. It's an accredited preschool, basically.
All right, so let's do. So that's about $17,000 a year.
Yep.
Divided by, after, if you adjust it for taxes, about a 30% rate. So your break even is only about $24,000.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other thing would be, let's back out, that would be the cost. But also what you're saving right now is you're paying $400 in healthcare for the family. If you go out and get a private plan, let's say that your husband is working and then you two, let's say you stop and he still works. And it really actually doesn't matter who's working here because you can get a healthcare plan either way. To get a private policy, to go out on the exchange and just get a policy for the family, I'm not a healthcare expense expert here, but I'm going to say it's going to be at least $800 a month, if not, let's call it $1,000 a month. Have you priced that out?
I have not. Well, for equivalent coverage, it's for our family, and we don't maybe need it as comprehensive as we have now with my job, but it's at least $1,000 a month for all of us.
Yeah. Okay. So it's $1,000 a month, and you're getting it today for $400,
mm-hmm.
basically for the whole family. So that's going to cost you an additional $600 a month times 12. That's another $72,000 that you would lose. So really, right now, if we're doing the real break even, you've got this $24,000 for daycare that you are paying, but really you're saving $7,200 because of healthcare. You know, I would say for now, the $60,000 you're earning is still significantly higher mm-hmm. than the cost of daycare. For now it is. Let me walk through a scenario that would be a little bit more break even. If you didn't get a break on daycare and you were paying $1,200 a month per child, you have two kids, now all of a sudden you're at $30,000.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say that your health care was covered, so you're not losing any health care. Now you need to make about $40,000through work just to break even. That's a scenario where I think you're getting close to a wash. And that's a scenario where it's pretty easy to say, let's stop working for you. Mm-hmm. That's a scenario financially where you're getting close to, you're making 60. I'm looking at a break even here of 40 to 50. I think that's a scenario that's a total wash. And that's a really easy scenario for you to say, hey, I'm done for now. The other variable for you and any parent that stops work would be, what's the longer term impact, Mary, on taking a few years off for your working career? That's some careers you can pick right back up after 3, 4, 5 years, and you're back to where you were and you keep going. Other careers, it might be more difficult to do that. And I think in the economy that we are today, time off can take a little bit more of a toll than it ever has, because the evolution of learning and technology continues to be so quick.
My industry doesn't treat employment gaps very favorably. So I would not be able to jump right back in and let's say 5 to 8 years very easily.
So
that's
really
the other thing we've considered, is there's a long-term cost to this.
There is. So if your career is, I call this restartable or not, and if your career is not as restartable as you'd like it to be, then there's hence another variable that points back to keep working. So I don't want anybody, and I this is such a tough one because I'm a dad. Here we are on Father's Day, so probably a good time to talk about this scenario, is that I would love to be able to say, look, you shouldn't feel guilty about being a full-time parent, right? You should not feel guilty if you guys can afford it. There is an infinitely, the price or the value of being home with your kids and with your husband, by the way. And you said that that's another variable where he works from home. You can be there and you can even help a little bit in his career. Then I'd love to say, yes, stop working. And you don't have to pay for daycare anymore. And the intangible would be, yes, it's going to be about $7,000 more in cost because it's you're talking about having to buy healthcare insurance now. But the one thing that you didn't give me a number on, how much do you think you would contribute if you now started to work with your husband? How much extra money could you guys as a couple be making?
It could be significant. And that's kind of what we've tried to figure out is how much
extra you two could make together.
Exactly.
Even though you'll be a full-time mom, though, with two kids.
Well, not that I've told him, as I said, just because I stay at home doesn't mean I suddenly have 8 hours a day. We'll still have to do something with our children for, you know, for me to work with our other business. But even 2 to 3 hours a day could be an exponential aid for the type of business he has.
Oh my God. I hear your 1-year-old in the back. 2-year-old?
Just turned 3 today.
3-year-old today. Happy birthday. Happy Father's Day to the family. And this, I think, is just a good conversation. I know there's no perfect answer here. I can just tell you from the math, because of your health care and because you have low cost daycare, then your $60,000 career right now, and you're saying you don't have a very restartable career, or it will hurt you in long term monetarily, then yes, you're still way in the money working where you are today.
We've calculated is he would have to almost be bringing in an extra probably $50,000 a month, or excuse me, not a month, a year.
A year. So for you to stop.
To make it close to a break even.
Well, listen, how old are you guys, by the way?
I'm 35. He's 50.
All right. Well, I would say that you're still awfully young. He's obviously more mid-career. For now, I wanted to be able to say stop. I would have been the best Father's Day present for me to be able to say, Mary, stop tomorrow. Keep the kids home after you have the next baby. That's what I wanted to tell you. But right now, for you guys, the numbers really don't work to do that. But who knows? It might be if his career takes off and he starts earning more money. And Mary, if you have a third, then I think the conversation comes back up. And maybe it's that at the point you start to stay home. Thank you so much for the call. Wonderful discussion. And I think it's helpful that we did this for a lot of families. Happy Father's Day to you and your daughter or son. And stay tuned to more Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss. Find me and the Money Matters team at wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. Stay tuned. More Money Matters straight ahead. News 95.5 AM 750 WSB. Well, good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. I hear some music faintly in the background. There we go. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Let's talk tariffs for just a second. And I don't want to get to a call because we just don't have enough time in this segment. In the bottom of the half hour, we will absolutely go back to the phones here and answer your calls and your questions. So the number 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. So much happening this week, obviously. We had a summit that arguably went very well. We had a new round of this back and forth on tariffs. So we're imposing tariffs now on China. They're imposing the $50 billion worth of Chinese goods. They're going to do the same back in a retaliatory way, but we knew this was coming. So we had a Federal Reserve rate hike. Again, we knew that was coming. So now we're closer to 2% in short-term rates. So there's an awful lot kind of back and forth. And remember, the reason the Fed raised rates again is that the economy is solid. It can handle higher interest rates. We're getting back to a more normalized level. The 10-year Treasury is getting back closer to 3%. And markets were just perfectly flat. So if you looked at the S&P 500 for the week, it was up 0.02%, just almost perfectly flat, up about 3.9% on the year. The Dow Jones was down almost 1%. Up about 1.5% for the year. So we're just kind of in this tug of war back and forth, headed nowhere for the year. And that's okay. That's okay. We have an economy that's outperforming the stock market this year. We're going to probably grow at over 4.5% for the second quarter for GDP growth. Obviously, the market is not the economy. They don't necessarily work very well together in any given period of time, but they do over time, long run. And that's what we have to keep our eyes on, that long-term prize. When we get back, we'll go to the phones here again, 404-872-0750. More Money Matters right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB, straight ahead.
It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss, certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here on Father's Day, Sunday morning. Happy Father's Day to all of the fathers listening today. I got a jar of pretzels, peanut butter pretzels from my 6-year-old. And I guess he knows I like peanut butter and pretzels. And then there was this cool styrofoam airplane that was supposed to be a present that I saw today on the front lawn that I guess the kids just couldn't wait to play with it. So yesterday they took it out and flew it in the front lawn. It broke apart, and then the dog ate it. So that was my Father's Day present. But anyway, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. Another one. I've got Luke Moss here in the studio with me today. So that's as good of a Father's Day present as you can have when your kids are old enough to come to work with you. When I first started radio, I guess about 12 years ago, obviously I had no children. My oldest is 11. And now I've got, so zero kids, and it was a little easy. I guess the radio was harder in the beginning because I had never done it before. No kids. Now I've got 4 kids running around, 4 boys, 11, 8, 6, and 2. And to do anything in the house is just pure chaos. But I, for some way, I don't know, I can write and write through that. So there's certain times where there literally could be 4 kids running around on a Saturday evening sometimes, and I can just luckily still get my thoughts together when it comes to markets and the economy and the world. And radio is a lot of fun. So really the best part about radio is taking your phone calls, your questions. The number 404-872-0750. I said I'd give you a quick tariff update. So not everything has gone into effect. But of course, last week, the Trump administration announced that the first round of Chinese tariffs are being implemented. So it's 25% tariff on roughly $34 billion worth of Chinese goods. On July 6th, another $16 billion worth of goods. So now that's where you hear that $50 billion mark. So a 20% tax on these tariffs. And if you look at all the tariffs that are likely going into effect, now the number's up to about $90 billion. So that $90 billion, though, here we are kind of mid-year. You've got to think of the economic impact on that. So 25% of that number, now you're talking about an economic impact of, let's call it $20 billion. So it's certainly a real number, but as far as an economy is concerned, that is a trillion-dollar economy. At this point, it is not necessarily. It's not going to hurt the U.S. economy, and that's part of the reason you saw the market not take a big hit this week. A, we've known this is coming. Number one, number two, as it stands today, the tariffs of this size are not going to bring down the United States economy. Yes, it could get worse, and that's what the markets are looking for. Does it go to $250 billion or $500 billion? Yeah, then we'd start to run into trouble. But if this tariffs stay kind of around this $100 billion size, remember, it's $100 billion worth of goods. It's not $100 billion worth of goods. There's a tax on that. We get through that, and we probably don't even see an economic blip at this point. So we'll continue to keep an eye on that. We'll go to the phones here. Ryan Ely, where are we headed here? No, we are going to, all right, we're going to head to Suwannee. We're Barbara in Suwannee. Barbara, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. How can I help?
Good morning. My son and his wife are considering buying a house, first-time homeowners. And I'm wondering, what is the break-even point as far as how long they would need to live there to make it worth not renting an apartment?
Well, okay, so a couple of thoughts on this. Remember, there was a long period of time in our economic history here in the United States where it just felt like you could just do no wrong with real estate. Of course you want to go buy, and you always make your money back. Just live there for a year, and you're good to go. And then obviously that changed in the great financial crisis. Real estate dropped 30% in most areas, so it was a disaster. And if you look at the Case-Shiller Home Price Index, you'll see that we've just gotten back to and slightly above where we were before the wheels came off. So Case-Shiller Home Price Index, if you look at the 20-city index, you'll see that home prices are back to where they were before the calamity. The question I have over the next couple of years, where do we go from here, right? So if you're going to buy a house, live in it for a little while, and then have to sell that house, you've got a ton of costs associated with that. Let's call it a full 6% plus expenses that you don't get back and repairs. And I call it a good 10% buffer, right? So if you buy a $300,000 house, if you don't live in it for long enough for it to appreciate a full 10%, then you're not even going to break even. In order to break even, you've got to have at least a 10% rate of return on the overall value of the house. In the economy that we're living in today and the housing market we're living in today, because we've kind of had this rapid reappreciation, I think it slows back down to a level of, let's call it 2% a year. Do the math, 2 divided by 10. I think you got to be there 5 years to break even. Now, it could be sooner than that. It could be maybe 3 or 4. But I think 3 years, Barbara, is a best case scenario. If you don't think you're going to be able to be there for at least 3 years on most real estate, and again, real estate's very local, so I don't know exactly where this is going to be, but if anything, it's metro-oriented. In the metro Atlanta area, and that's all the way north of Atlanta, that's even in the city of Atlanta, I think you've got to have at least 3 years if you want to break even. To play it safe, I think it's 5. What are they thinking?
I don't know. She just made a commitment to a new job for 2 years. And so I really don't know what they're thinking exactly. The other thing is they're in the Boston area.
Oh, they're not even here in Atlanta.
No, sorry about that.
Yeah, that's okay. So if you look at Boston, my goodness, that's some of the most expensive zip codes. We did a show about a year ago. I remember going on a heat map, I believe, with Trulia and identifying the brightest green places in per square foot in the country. And there are, if you're from Boston and you're listening, you know exactly the areas I'm talking about here that have some of the most expensive real estate in the nation. Are they there in that really fancy, nice district in Boston, or are they?
They're outside of Metro Boston.
So we should be a little more, quote, normal and a little bit closer to how most housing works in the United States. Really, housing in the United States, Atlanta is a really good proxy, by the way. We are a great kind of not too hot, not too cold economy. I'd say closer to the hot side because we have a vibrant economy. Real estate here is actually kind of very average priced. It's nothing like New York or Palo Alto or some of the areas in Boston, but it's also not overly, it's not inexpensive either. We're kind of in that average. I would venture to say that the economics of what I just went through are probably pretty similar, particularly in the suburbs of Boston. And I would just, my take on this is that if you don't think you're going to be there for at least 3, then don't make the call. Don't make the commitment. But it sounds like, listen, if she's got a job commitment for at least 2 years, 3 is not far past that, then I think, yeah. And I, quite frankly, I think it's, how old are they?
Early 30 and 28.
And this is time. I think this is when you make that move in your late 20s, early 30s, if you can afford to do it. As long as you're not stretching. That's the other thing is I would just convey to them, you're going to get a lot of mixed signals when you go buy a house. They'll say, well, you can do 30, 35% of your income, your gross income. as your housing payment. So you make $100,000 a year, that a mortgage advisor will say you can, you can have a payment of $35,000 a year divided by 12 would be $2,900 a month, $3,000 a month. I think that that is way too aggressive and it doesn't leave you any room for error.
Yeah.
I know it's expensive in these big city metros. I want that number to be closer to 15% of the gross income. In a metro like this, it might need to be something like 20, just to be realistic, maybe even 25. But mm-hmm. the way people get into trouble is that they get talked into more house, more mortgage than they can afford. Something doesn't go perfectly, and then they're in trouble. So just make sure that wherever they buy, as long as they're in that 20% range, 15 is better, but I understand 20, 25 in the beginning, sometimes it has to be that way. Then they're going to be kind of in a good, safe area or safe. Mm-hmm. They go beyond that, then they can really run into potential trouble. Barbara and Swanee, thank you for the call. I wish them the very best. It's time for Ryan Ealy. We got a lot going on in there. What are we doing? We doing weather with Luke Moss? Okay, Luke Moss, let's hear it, buddy.
Sunday, a high mix of clouds and sunshine. Summer warm high of 88 degrees. A 40% chance of an afternoon or evening thunderstorm. Tomorrow, Monday, looks a lot like today's forecast.
Nice.
Happy Father's Day, Dad.
Okay, good job, buddy. I like it. I know you haven't done the weather for like a year, so I know. I'm thankful. That's a nice Father's Day present for you to be able to do the weather. Thank you, buddy. All right, so where are we headed now?
We have a prize pack.
Prize pack, Ryan Ealy now.
A family 4-pack of tickets to see the Gwinnett Stripers at Couray Field. You could go anytime during the regular season. Visit GoStripers.com for tickets and game schedule. Stripers baseball, a great family value all summer long.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. The number here in the studio, 404-872-0750. Ryan, where are we headed next, my friend? We're staying right here in Atlanta. John joins us from Atlanta. John, welcome to Money Matters. What's going on? How can I help?
Hey, this is John in Atlanta. I might lose you. I'm about to leave town. I have a question about liquid cash. What should you do with it when your 401k is healthy, your savings account is healthy, your home is paid for, and you have over $100,000 that you're paying the bank to hold on to for you while you figure out what you're going to do with it?
You know, there was an interesting conversation I had this week at the investment forum that I was at in Colorado, where the CEO of Charles Schwab was talking about cash, and he put it into context that I hadn't quite heard of it before, and that's that we kind of have two different philosophies on cash. You've got your cash that you feel as though it's your ready, usable cash. Like, hey, I'm going to use this money in the next month or 6 months. And you treat that cash one way. And then you have your longer term cash that you treat another way. So, hey, I'm always going to leave X amount in cash. It might be $50,000. It might be $100,000. So it depends, John, on is this usable cash, or is this kind of just part of your investment allocation? It's a kind of a safe part of the overall retirement plan that you have.
No, it's actually just money that's been saved over years that just has accumulated to that amount, and it doesn't do anything but sit there. So no, I have investments in a 2 401ks. I have rental properties that are paid for, but I just have this large amount of cash. And I say large, it may not be large to everybody, but it just sits there, and it was always just in case you needed it, but now it's accumulated so much that you're not going to need that much for an emergency.
Well, and then in retirement, John, and how many years until retirement for you?
9.
So you get to the point where you're, let's say you're close to retirement or you're in retirement and you've already saved what you needed to save, you technically don't really need an emergency fund anymore, because the money you've saved for retirement is all liquid and you can get to it. So you really are holding cash really just for comfort purposes. So here's what I'll just tell you. This is the bottom line, is that only recently in the last 6 months, we've gotten to an environment where short-term treasury bonds pay a lot, meaning like over 2%. So that means that your money market or your cash should be doing the same. The problem is that most money markets are not anywhere close to that. So if you, let's say that you've got this $100,000 sitting around, very simply and easily at any brokerage firm, Fidelity, Schwab, you name it, you can at least buy short-term treasuries. And right now you can get a one-year treasury that's over 2%, over 2%, that the two-year treasury is hovering around 2.5%. So there's no reason for your cash not to be working for you when short-term treasuries, which are effectively what money markets buy anyway, should be in that range. So I'd say maybe you put 25 to the side and the other 75 goes into some sort of short-term treasury if you really want to keep the money super, super safe. At least today, we can now start to get over 2%. John in Atlanta, thank you for the call. Running to news, weather, traffic, you're listening to Money Matters. If you want to find me and the Money Matters team, easy to do so. Go to wesmoss.com. Email us straight from there, WESMOSS.com. More Money Matters right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Straight ahead. Well, good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning, Father's Day. I wanted to do a quick recap of the, again, I went to a two-day investment forum this week in Colorado and heard from speakers, or global strategists, U.S. economy, politics, innovation, artificial intelligence, and of course from Dr. Janet Yellen, our most recent past Fed chair of the Federal Reserve. Here's kind of just a summary of the last couple of days. A, the economy has at least a year, likely two or three, remaining for expansion. That's good news. That means that we likely have another year plus of decent equity market returns and may even have a final melt up before we head into our next stock market correction or economic recession. And when we do have a correction, when we do have a recession, the likelihood is that it's a more normal, or quote normal in nature, versus the calamities that we saw in 2000, 2007. The bear market will come. It might not be a Kodiak brown bear, which again was the biggest bear out there, one of. It, more like a honey bear, which is a small bear, or I believe a type of a sun bear, but more normal. And because they are normal there, that's part of investing. Politics, the GOP will at the very least, and this is coming from Greg Vallier, this is his take on politics. The GOP will at the very least retain the Senate, may even pick up a seat or two. As long as Trump stays healthy, which is kind of an interesting context, he will win. I had no idea he's such so against exercise. Evidently, he believes that every moment, every hour you exercise in your life is an hour wasted. This is the guy, remember, he'll play golf, won't even walk up to the green, drives golf cart all the way to the green. So if he stays healthy, very likely he wins in 2020. Janet Yellen and the Fed will continue to navigate between the icebergs. Artificial intelligence rapidly becoming integrated into every